I'm pleased to be here to have a moment to talk about Texas A&M University. I'll be very brief and then be happy to answer any questions or address any issues that you'd like. Chancellor Sharp talked a great deal about the efficiencies that we've achieved at the university. We strongly believe in our constitutional mandate to serve the state of Texas in as effective and efficient way as we can, and believe and are happy that we think we're succeeding. More to be done always, but we think we're exceeding. We are educating the most students in higher education in the state of Texas. We do also have the fastest time to degree. We know this is an important issue for everyone who cares about higher education. Our average time to graduation right now is 4.0 years. We have the highest graduation rate in the state, not only overall, but particularly for underrepresented minorities, as well as first-generation students in the mid 80% range. We are particularly pleased because that's also very heavily STEM-focused, something that the state needs. 27% plus of our students are actually graduating in STEM fields, serving the state, we think, in a very important way. We believe we've done this in a way that allows our students to make career decisions based less on their financial obligations and more on their passions and interests. We have the number percentage of students graduating with debt is actually well below the state and the national average and going down. Each of the last 3 years, it's gone down by 2%. And the amount they're graduating with is also well below both the state and the national average and also has dropped $2,000 each of the last 3 years in a row. We are working very hard to try and ensure that our students have those opportunities. And happily they do. We're consistently ranked as one of not only one of the best values in higher education, but among the best returns on investment because of the quality of the jobs that our students are able to get upon graduation. We combine that with significant research, which is an important part of our mission, but also an important part of how we teach. Virtually every research project, every dollar of research involves not only our professors, but our graduate and also our undergraduate students. We will be bumping up against about $900 million this year of extramural research funding, every dollar of which goes to projects that produce things that really do make the lives of Texans appreciably better. So I'm here today in some measure to thank you for funding formula growth. That is critical to us. It is the essence of what allows us to do what we do. While we are very happy to be the beneficiary of it, we also know that it's not quite as robust as it might look in some ways because we have had extraordinarily rapid growth. In the last decade, we've actually added the equivalent of another university here in the state of Texas with 15,000 additional students. What's important about that number is it's not only 15,000 headcount, but the student hours have increased at exactly the same rate. So we know that these are full-time students, and as I mentioned earlier, graduating both in large numbers, graduating with minimal financial obligations or fewer financial obligations, graduating in numbers, significant numbers, and being placed very well. So the formula funding for us is absolutely critical, particularly in light of the extremely rapid growth that we think we've managed well, if the results are any indication, but growth nonetheless. I'd also like to thank the legislature for supporting last year the Governor's University Research Initiative. It had an extraordinary impact on our university in terms of allowing us to attract even more very high-quality researchers and teachers to join a very strong group that we have there already. What's wonderful about each of those is they brought with them laboratories, they brought with them doctoral students, postdoc students, and others, all of which really worked in a very powerful way to stimulate both the economy, but also to build on and expand and leverage up the research that the university does, as well as the teaching. So that was a wonderful element in our growth and success and development this year. So with that, I would be happy to discuss any other issue that you'd like to discuss.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. Thank you for what you do for our students. Senator West?
You know, I don't have a lot to add, but I just want to commend Dr. Young and Texas A&M University. It was a very difficult situation down at A&M this past year.
It was last year, 2016.
That's right. Not long ago.
Some kids from Hampton Preparatory College School went to visit A&M, and some racial slurs were directed towards it. Dr. Young, the entire A&M system, the president of the student body at A&M, and the student body at A&M all came together to make certain those students recognized that that was not the type of environment that existed at A&M, and made certain that those students, some of which I think enrolled there, recognized that they were welcome to come to the school and become Aggies. So I wanted to publicly acknowledge that once again and say a job well done. Mm-hmm.
Senator, thank you, and thank you for your help in that regard. You were absolutely invaluable in helping make sure that we had access to be able to talk a little more openly with those students about who we really are and what we represent, and you were just terrific. Thank you so much.
Compliments to both of you. Senator Betancourt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Young, thanks for coming and appreciate the presentation. And when you look at your special items, are these ranked in priority where you have the cyclotron as number one, or would you prioritize those differently?
We would lump them together in probably two different groups. I think I would say the two highest priorities for us are the cyclotron and the Sea Grant program. The cyclotron is really one of the small number of cyclotrons in the United States. We not only use it, it leverages up our research grants and allows us to do remarkably sophisticated work, but it's also used by a number of companies here in the state. We think the return on that state contribution to that is about, as nearly as we can tell, about $17 for every dollar the state invests.
I was going to guess 8 to 10 to 1, but yeah. 17 to 1 is a better number.
The Sea Grant program is similar in that regard.
And the cyclotron being able to bombard, you know, specific components at military spec or at,
yes.
Right, and that's been a successful program for a while, so you can do that effective testing in the facility for major manufacturers really all over the United States.
Yes. And I think particularly as we see expanded corporate engagement on the research side with the RELIS campus and our research park and so forth, it will become increasingly valuable. The Sea Grant program is similar in some ways. Not only helps us spread the word about the interest in science throughout the state, it's really a statewide program. It's helped us save some of the maritime fishing industries in the state. It's been extremely valuable. And again, the contribution the state makes actually leverages up very considerable federal dollars that support that program. So I think those would probably be, we'll give you a precise ranking subsequently, but certainly those two are particularly powerful.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Young. Appreciate it.
Senator Seliger.
Thank you, Dr. Young. Thank you for being here today. And would you, as you prioritize those special items, would you, and I would ask all the schools in the system, to put expiration dates, the proposed expiration dates on those, so special items are special but don't roll over into base funding, which creates part of the imbalance that we have now with $1 billion in special items. Right now the capacity, hopefully for a little more than $300 million, but no guarantee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Senator. We'll be happy to sort of give some indication. We have, by and large, been relatively successful at the university of doing that. One of the reasons I think A&M has relatively smaller numbers of special items is that over time, many of those have become self-sustaining or have rolled into these. Some of these may be more challenging to do that because part of the advantage is the federal money that comes into these. Now, the cyclotron is different, but the Sea Grant program, the federal government may remain at a matching point. They don't give that money unless the state indicate some investment in it. But some of the others, we can sort of demonstrate that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Colfer?
Thank you. Hi, Dr. Young. I'm sorry, I don't feel really well, but
we have a great medical school, if you like.
I know you do. I had a nephew that graduated from there. So just on the Trump and its importance, although it got a small haircut, it stays intact. I know that you've mentioned the governor's initiative and its importance. And so where the Trump is funded now, still sufficient?
No, it should be a lot more.
Okay.
No, the Trump is very, very valuable. It really allows us to create kind of a margin of excellence for the professors who are incentivized to bring in this research funding. I mean, the thing about the research funding, the extramural research funding, it virtually all comes from out of the state, so it's a contribution into the state, the $900 million. Some comes from industry, a great deal comes from the federal government. The TRUF has been absolutely invaluable in providing allow us to provide the basic infrastructure so that professors can compete for these grants. Highly, highly competitive. And being able to have the equipment in the laboratory that says we are prepared to compete for that. And every grant that comes in really is in some ways a small startup business. I mean, it brings with a doctor and postdoc. So the TRUF has been very, very valuable. We'd love to see the 10% restored. We certainly understand the constraints you're under.
Okay. And just to follow up, and I was looking at your numbers, you're now the largest university in the state of Texas.
Yes. And one of the largest in the United States. We're probably in the top five in the United States.
So 2 years on the job, I think, because you came while we were in session last. You were hired during that time. And so the growth, how much bigger do y'all see yourself?
Well, at this point, we are sort of on a soft pause for growth as we do the kind of analysis that helps us ensure that we can provide for every student who comes across our campus the kinds of educational experiences that a Tier 1 AAU research university of the sort that we are really promises the students will provide. So we're doing analysis of what are our faculty-student ratios, what are our laboratory spaces and our classroom inventories look like, what are our student support services look like. What we're finding is in some areas they're probably significantly inadequate, in other areas they're pretty strong. We do not anticipate dramatic additional growth until we're sort of able to right size all of those areas in areas where there is student demand and student need to ensure that we can still provide that quality of education. So it's a little bit of an abstract question or an abstract answer,
right. But
I think I would say right now we do have a soft cap on freshmen and transfer enrollment. We will grow organically some because our sophomore, junior, and senior classes right now are bigger than the class that just graduated, but we are on a bit of a pause otherwise as we do the analysis and try to make sure we have the support for the education we need to provide.
And your utilization of blend and blend team and that transition, and we had a big long talk about it today. It seems much smoother at A&M with blend than maybe in some other places. Yes.
It has been very smooth with blend. We actually take the notion of transfer pretty seriously. 42 hours that students take anywhere from one of the accredited schools in the state automatically go towards the core curriculum requirements. We have articulation, 50 or so articulation agreements, but more importantly, we have been going around the state in areas of high demand, like engineering, like the vet school and so forth, working with community colleges and other partner universities to help align curriculum in a way that it's not just a question of do we give credit, but can they succeed in the next class thereafter? I mean, if in fact the training that goes on in a particular class somewhere else doesn't adequately prepare the students for the next sequential class, we have done them no favors by simply giving them credit for that. And so working to articulate that in a way that ensures their success has been particularly important. But we have probably on an annual basis 3,600 transfer students every year. Our transfer student graduation rate is the highest in the state. That's also in the mid-80s or so.
Wow. Thank you. Good. Any other questions? Thank you for what you do. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you.